flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Son of a biscuit.
Wow, what a week I'm having here.
2-0 and it's Tuesday.
You sure it's only two?
Yes. I had one yesterday, one today. That is not the start to the week that we wanted.
So my week just keeps getting better.
I had a clip I needed to play for your approval for the audio blitz on. So are we allowed to say that, play that word on the air? Specifically, if I told you it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
You know, everyone could see that on the screen.
That's okay. I can say it on the stream. I don't know if I can get it. Can we get away with that? I don't feel like it's that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't, you really?
Like, what it is, obviously, is, but yeah, I don't feel like the word is that bad.
Is that a single word or is it two words? But I mean, because I think it's two words. I don't think it's one word.
I feel like regardless of whether it's one word or two words, I feel like it's one of those things, like the thing that it describes, obviously, we can't talk about. The word itself, I don't feel is that bad.
I will say, I don't like it and I'll dump it if you play it. There we go. But you can still play it. The stream can hear it.
Well, no, I mean,
and they can judge me however.
Maybe I'll do a special audio blitz for the stream, but I'm not gonna play something on the air. You're gonna dump.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have before.
Safe to say, Jerry Jones doesn't know what words mean.
I bet he does.
Okay.
Why did you not bleep that out? Because you think that word is or two words is so funny that you okay.
For the record, 100%. If you weren't here, I would have played it. And I'd have taken the shot. 100% I'd have played it.
That's me. And you can tell by listening, I'm just a major prude.
Jerry Jones, in his press conference yesterday.
Would never do anything because I'm prudish. Just want to point that out.
I ran it. Listen, what if I'd have just played it? Right?
I still would have dumped it.
Right. So why not?
No, I appreciate
the forgiveness, not permission.
Well, if you question it, then it's probably not airable. I mean, that's the whole point of the thing.
Well, no, because
you take the training.
And I asked you I asked you last week if I was allowed to play a clip about a French soccer team named Brest. You know, and that was, you know, it's not the edgiest thing in the world.
Well, Brests are acceptable. So, I mean, but if you go...
It's acceptable. It's one entity. It's just one soccer team.
Well, yeah, and I was talking about... I don't think when you say breasts, it's like one... Unless you signify... If someone says breasts, They don't say breast unless they're having a problem with one single breast. No, that is not a problem.
Jerry Jones.
That other thing is something totally different, and you know that.
Well, I agree. But again, it's just the name of the thing, not a description of the thing. Here, let me tell you guys what's going on without... I'm going to work my way around this.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to work my way around this.
Because according to our training, which I just took recently, again, that's, you know, even, you know, innuendo is not...
Oh, there's no innuendo here.
Okay.
There's no innuendo. Jerry Jones is so disconnected with reality. Jerry Jones said yesterday... There's a term. This, by the way, this word. You know what?
How many times have we said happy endings? Okay, that's
exactly. That's the same thing to me.
No, it's not.
It's the same thing.
It is not.
Let me tell you guys.
It is not.
In the oil business.
One's a finish and one's a beginning. Probably. I guess.
I mean, this word technically is both. Technically both.
Okay.
In the oil business, there is a term. For when someone drills into the ground and finds oil, all right? They drill a hole in the ground and they find oil. And when they find oil, they consider it a glorious victory, all right? There is glory to be found.
I don't think they do that. I think you're just trying to use that as I don't.
No,
think
I'm not. That's where. Listen,
I don't think
it's
actually an oil term.
I'm about to let me get through it. That is, and this is why Jerry Jones said what he said yesterday. If you haven't seen it, it's worth popping onto your social media or YouTube to go find this because it's absolutely hilarious. In the oil drilling business, they call a spot where you drill a hole into the ground and you find oil. They say there's glory to be found in that hole. And that's where that term comes from. However, that word has been commandeered for when someone at a particular type of establishment.
So James mentioned on the stream something that I've always, when I go back to the Clampets, I go back to Beverly Hillbillies, and that's black gold and Texas tea. It's not that other thing that you're talking
about. Well, as we know, common vernacular is only influenced by the Clampets.
You enjoy Vittles. You don't like ciphering. I mean, there's a lot of things there.
All I can tell you is that I researched this.
You occasionally visit the cement pond. You had one.
Cement pond?
Yeah, one.
A pool?
Yeah, when you grew up.
Yeah, I've never called it that.
Yeah. We know.
All right. So I'm going to.
Your resemblance to Jethro is uncanny.
I'm going
to
get through this.
Still take your beard off.
If I have to push the audio blitz back 2 hours, okay?
You never mentioned you were doing audio blitz.
Well, this was going to be in the audio blitz. That's why I asked you if I was going to be good or not.
Fine.
Jerry Jones yesterday was being grilled by the Dallas media, as he should be, because he is bad at his job. And his being bad at his job, unfortunately, has a detrimental impact on Dallas Cowboys fans everywhere. Well, Jerry yesterday, in this press conference, said... The word for the hole in the ground in which an oil collector finds glory and oil. And in doing so...
I protest. Just so it's on...
That's fine.
The
Again.
Recording. I protest because you didn't really get around it. You said both words. Just in different order.
I didn't say the word.
It's... Anyway...
Anyway, Jerry at his press conference was pointing out publicly in front of people and microphones that when he took over this team, there wasn't much glory to be found around the star. And that, you know, he wanted to be around when the glory was found. Except for he didn't just use the word glory, which I've now said so many times that it seems like a very weird word to me. G-L-O-R-Y. It's just a weird word.
I thought you were going to go G-L-O-R-I-A. Gloria.
No.
Yeah, because
you
probably don't know that song.
I do know it.
Okay. All right.
But that's not in the Rob
Brown
vernacular.
You spelled it with the cadence That sounded like you were going there.
Jerry said that he hopes to be around long enough to find glory. But then he stuck another word on the end of glory, and it made it real awkward to hear an 80-plus-year-old man say that he was looking for that particular type of enjoyment.
Okay, if I don't understand why that would those two words would be there, and while he was looking for glory.
Do you know what that thing is?
Yes. Okay. If I didn't know what that thing is, how would I not say okay. I don't want you to say
so
that thing?
How is it not funny to you that Jerry Jones said yesterday he wants to find that?
First of all, you're acting like he's incapable of using such a thing when we have seen many times older men with much younger women. And having children by said younger women, not through a surgate but because they're virile and there are things that you can buy if you're not. So
listen,
what you're implying, it may be an unfortunate choice of putting words together, which you and I never do ever on this show, ever, accidentally. You're making me defend Jerry Jones. I get that a bunch of people don't like the guy. I mean, I get that.
This may just simply be a place where your sense of humor and mine diverge from each other, which is rare, but does happen.
Say, they're really not that much different than you try to make it out to
be. It's rare, but it does happen. But JJ, when talking about his Cowboys after 30 years of failure as the owner general manager, saying that he wants to go find glory, but then followed it up with another word behind that, is the funniest thing that's ever. Deck and I were texting back and forth for 15 minutes last night about how hilarious this was. It's the I'm probably gonna play. I don't know if I yes.
And that's exactly what they sounded like.
Yes.
Wow. It's, you
yes.
know, I'm not surprised.
Yes, it
did
was.
Did you snort?
It was.
Tell me you went.
It was 100% because I also sent it to P1 Joey B, our buddy Andrew, my buddy Jonathan. I probably sent that
all
clip.
All people with the same sense of humor.
Correct.
And all snorting, probably.
Correct.
And when I say snorting, I just mean snorting laughter. Some of them might even have guffawed. It's possible.
I had to have sent this clip. I showed this clip to my wife. That's how funny it was. We were laying in bed at like 10:15 at night, and this clip popped up on my Instagram reels, and I played it, and then I pushed the screen to pause it, and I like my brain spun a second. Did I just hear JJ say glory and then another word after that? And I went, there's no way. So then I played it again, and I thought, yeah, I did. And the wife went, what did he just say? And I went, who? And she said, Jerry
just
Jones,
just
on your
watching
phone.
Listeners just drop off the stream because they cannot believe that you really want to say that.
She said, what did Jerry Jones just say? And I played it for her. And she went, is he okay? And I went, I don't think so. I don't think he is. Now, apparently, because when I sent this to Deck and I'm like, dude, are you running with this on your show tomorrow? He said, oh, you don't know the OG clip. Apparently, this is not the first time that Jerry Jones has referenced that type of hole on his on a press conference before. Apparently, it's been happening a couple of times. He found me a clip from like 14 years ago when JJ said, I'm looking for... Sorry.
So maybe you are right, and it does have to do with oil, and he is in Texas and has been there a long time. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, it is, and it does. I'm telling you. I'm not saying that as
is
like
there,
a guess.
Is there a chance that possibly he has no idea that that's a thing?
If that is the case, and again, I'm not saying that Jerry is surrounded by a bunch of yes men. I'm not saying that Jerry's definitely surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men who allow him to get away with whatever he wants, and that's why everything he wants is what happens, and the team stinks and has stank and will continue to stunk moving forward. What I'm saying is, if JJ has been running around in pressers for at least one dozen years saying that he is looking for glory, and he's looking for glory in that particular type of fashion and manner, even if it is an old Texas oil baron term. And that's how JJ got all his money, was finding glory in the ground. Drill a hole, find some glory. Even if that's what he's been saying and how he's been meaning it this whole time. The fact that ain't one person said, hey, Jerry, I know that that word means this over here in your world, but for like 99% of real America, that's not what that word means. It means something real different, Jura. The fact that nobody has said, Jerry, stop saying that word, to make him stop saying that word, is proof that he is just surrounded by yes men and this team's never going anywhere.
I think it's two words. I am just, have you met your quota yet from Secret Society? Because there's a lot of Dallas talk. I guess they give quotas when they send out, hey, you got to talk about Dallas now.
If you and I do not find the same level of comedy in Jerry Jones telling me that he is looking for that, then we're just on different pages for this segment.
I refuse to participate in anything that would lend credence to your belief that that's what he means. I'm just not participating in this segment.
Again, ignored as you wish. I fully believe that Jerry Jones, as a dude who made his money in oil speculation and real estate, is 100% using the old style of the term, an old oil drilling term. That means we dug a hole and we found oil, aka glory, down in it. I am sure in his mind that's the perfect usage of that word or those combination of words in that moment. But to everyone else in America, that is hilarious, objectively.
Okay, Chiefs haters, I blame you for this stuff, for us being subjected to this, because if you wouldn't have hated the Chiefs so much, we wouldn't have to endure all this Jerry talk.
I don't understand how it is that this isn't hilarious. I don't, and it's okay that you don't. There's no world in which I hear Jerry Jones use that word in that context and not laugh my ass off. That's hilarious. That is beyond hilarious to me. I'm 10, but that's hysterical.
Well, I was thinking, 12. It's kind of a tweeny thing. When you're almost a teenager and you're trying to act like what you consider is,
fair enough.
Just laugh at anything.
Whatever. If you don't find Jerry Jones' old ass talking about looking for glory and then using that word to just stand in for the word glory, we just have a different sense of humor here. Well, that's objectively hilarious.
I think people complain about Jerry Jones so much, but he gets what he wants. All you guys do is talk about him. Okay. Maybe stop talking about him and then he'll be irrelevant.
No, he's irrelevant once Dallas fans stop going to games and running into that stadium like they're trying to win an Olympic gold medal to watch a crappy team play.
That's their choice.
Agree. But if they keep doing that, me talking about him has no impact. And again, if the Cowboys disappeared tomorrow and Jerry Jones was trying to build from the ground up and he said, I'm looking for glory and I need to... I'm going to laugh at that every time. I'm a child. I don't know what you're going to tell you. I find it hilarious. Audio blitz when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. The occasional Jerry Jones and you here on the show. 844-326-3663 is the number, 844-FANFONE. Hey, you know, we tell you all the time that you should grab the Odyssey app. We tell you you should grab it so that you can listen to the Rob Brown Show and all the fine programming here on the Fan Upstate 24/7, 365, no matter where you are. We tell you that you should grab the Odyssey app so that you can utilize the Ray Memorial Hotline by opening the Odyssey app, searching the Fan Upstate, clicking on that Listen Live button, and then clicking on that Leave a Voice Message button. And you can, yep, do that. Leave a voice message on the Ray Memorial Hotline that we can listen to and we can play at any given point for you because we are kind, generous beings and want your voice on the show. But now we have an even better reason for you to grab the Odyssey app. Now we have an even better reason for you to download it, to open it, and to listen to the Fan Upstate live. That reason is our slam dunk in Vegas sweepstakes. Here's how it works. You download the free Odyssey app, you log in, and if you listen to the Fan Upstate for at least 1 hour, your name will be entered into a grand prize drawing where one lucky winner will score round trip airfare and accommodations for four in Las Vegas plus $5,000 per person. That is a prize pack worth $20,000 to enjoy the ultimate experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. It is a national contest. You enter again by downloading the free Odyssey app, logging in, and listening to the Fan Upstate for at least 1 hour per day. Every day you enter, or every day you listen for an hour, you are entered into the grand prize giveaway, the Slam Dunk in Vegas with the Fan Upstate. It is underway right now. So grab the Fan Upstate, grab the Odyssey app, search the Fan Upstate, log in, listen to the station for an hour, and get your name entered for the chance to win this incredible prize. You're being flown to Vegas. You're getting to go to some college basketball games in the college basketball championships. You're being put up in a hotel, and you're getting $5,000 a person to go bananas in Vegas. And also maybe, throw a little cheddar in while you're out there. Sports gambling's legal. Not saying, just saying. Grab the Odyssey app 1 hour a day. Every time you do, you are entered in to this incredible giveaway. Grab the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, and listen for an hour to be entered. All right. Let's get some sound in here as the show rolls on. Let's start with, where do we want to go here? I got a couple things. I got a couple in there. You know what? No, I'm going to save the Nick Saban thing. Let's go with the Kelce Bros. The Kelces do a podcast together. It's called the New Heights Podcast. We've talked about it on the show many times. We've played some audio many times. Jason went back and found an old clip because before the season started, a listener wrote in and asked Jason a question. Travis Kelce read him that question, and this happened. Jason got asked if your Eagles, the team you played for, and the Chiefs, the team your brother actively plays for, were to go to the Super Bowl and play each other, which is what happened. Would you be rooting for your old team to win a Super Bowl, or would you be rooting for your brother to win a Super Bowl? I don't know if the answer to that question is maybe a little different if T-Rav didn't already have a couple of rings.
But it wouldn't be because that's what brothers do, right? That's such a great clip, man. I like that pod. I like Jason. Jason Kelsey's the superior Kelsey for sure. But I love that clip because that's just what brothers
why
do.
Why is he the superior? Because he's older?
No, he's just...
Is this an older brother thing? You're doing it because you're an older brother, so you automatically go into the side of the older brother?
No, I'm doing it because the Kelsey brothers are the most television and radio exposed people in the history of the National Football League, and I'm just more like Jason than I am Trav.
You let your sibling rivalry go, okay? All right?
Yeah, if you ever let a sibling rivalry go, you didn't have a sibling rivalry, all right? As somebody who has a younger brother who I love and who you could not separate me from with the American Army, I am telling you, I will also never let the rivalry go. It is like the Southeastern Conference. I can talk crap.
What if it was like the Army of Guam? Could you be separated by?
That's less than the U.S. Army. I started with the number one army.
You did.
Okay?
All right.
I went with the top army. However, if it's a sibling rivalry, the sibling rivalry never stops. I respect that out of Jason. Like, hey, I hope my bro has a good game, but go my team.
We'll see what jersey he's wearing at the Super Bowl.
I played earlier the introduction of Brian Schottenheimer. He took to the podium for the first time as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Some of the players were in attendance, Dak Prescott amongst others. And this, first time talking to the players, is how Shoddy sounded.
Who's Scooney?
One of the guys on the
Scooney,
team.
Scooney, good to see you back there.
One of the guys on the
Thanks
team.
Thanks for coming, bro.
I got to tell you, and this is a weird spot, because I fully acknowledge, recognize, realize, and yet shan't change the fact that my reaction to that is, all right. Like, all right, and maybe this is being hypercritical, which I can be sometimes, shockingly. Maybe I'm being hypercritical. But, like, that sounds like the start of, like, you know what that sounds like? I'm a good judge for this, and that's okay. That sounds like a youth pastor introducing himself to a youth group for the first time. Not a football team. It's a different thing. It's a different world. That's what it sounds like to me.
I'm glad I don't listen with your ears sometimes. This is a guy who has familiarity with the team talking. Hey, again, like I pointed out in the first hour, those guys showed up to his press conference. They didn't have to. Those guys are going to support him. That's why they're there. He has familiarity with the guys. I hope they do well because I like when my boss is happy. I don't care if Cole's happy, but I like when my boss is happy, and he'll be happy if Dallas does good. And the other reason why I would love Dallas to be competitive and win a couple playoff games, not win the Super Bowl, but at least be in the running for it, just so people won't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
anymore. It will kill the Dallas narrative. Then they'll have to find something else.
Congratulations.
You don't get tired of narratives that have been there forever. And I realize because Jerry Jones has been there forever. Okay. I tire of that. I want to hear something new.
Let me clear something up here. You think when I talk about this.
I wasn't talking about you specifically. You are a part of it, but I'm talking about sports media overall. What are they going to do? What is your secret society going to do if Dallas actually if Schottenheimer comes forth and wins games? What are they going to do?
I can't speak for sports media at large, as I am only me.
Yeah,
that's
you,
good enough for me.
You were doing it earlier as a secret society.
The conversation for me is not about the Dallas Cowboys. It just happens to be that the most popular club in the National Football League is also right now the perfect illustration of dysfunctional, toxic, bad, diseased, cancerous ownership. That's it. It has nothing to do. This is one of those times that Rob Brown likes to utilize one entity as a metaphor for a conversation at large. And if you just tune in or you're listening at a surface level or on background noise or whatever, and that's fine. If you are just using me as background noise or not paying attention, then I can absolutely see how you think, oh, Rob's talking about the Cowboys. I mean, yes, in as much as I am using the Cowboys as an example of what can go wrong when you are owned and led by somebody who cares more about themselves than they do the success of the team and the enjoyment of its fans. My team's going through that right now with Gail Benson. She cares more about being a highfalutin member of society. The difference, however, is that the struggle of my team, we're not a big time team. We're not a big time market. Even with the Lombardi, the Saints are a small time, second rate poverty franchise. We just are. So nobody cares. Everybody, even if you hate them, knows what is happening with the Dallas Cowboys right now. So therefore, they become the best team to utilize as the illustration of this conversation. All right, I got a little more sound to play for you. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll talk about this Josh Allen thing. Got a couple of Nick Saban quotes and more. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be with you. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you jump on board and be a part of the radio broadcast. 844-326-3663 is the number, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do it. I want to, since we got a little bit of time here, I wanted to address a couple of comments from Nick Saban. He was in on a podcast a few days ago that I have jumped on board. It's called The Pivot. It is hosted by ESPN's Ryan Clark, Fabulous Fast Freddie Taylor, and Channing Crowder, the former Miami Dolphin. Great. Saban was on this podcast, and there's two clips from it that have kind of started to make the rounds that I absolutely love. The first one is just kind of funny. Channing Crowder was talking about being a member of the Miami Dolphins when Nick Saban was the head coach. And he told a story about an interaction that he had with Nick. And I play this for two reasons. Number one, the interaction is freaking hilarious. And number two, because Nick Saban comes across as just such a likable dude. Gotta get off the field on third down. I want to address two things. Number one, why in the year 2025 can't we have a bathroom stall that you can't look in and out of the cracks? Is it just me? That's not a problem for anybody else. I do my best not to have to do my worst in public. I have literally left this radio station to drive home to do my business. If I got the warning that if I got enough time that I know before the bomb goes off that I can make it back to the crib, I'm gonna do that. All right. Part of the reason why isn't just because I just don't want to use a public toilet. Part of the reason why isn't just because I don't want to potentially end up subjecting my coworkers to whatever war crime I'm about to commit.
No, you just don't want to be judged the way you judge people, I think. And I don't blame you there.
Also that.
Yeah, I think those cracks need to be there for safety purposes.
I don't.
Because there could be a ne'er-do-well hanging out outside the stall, ready to jump you just out of sight where you don't see his feet, but you can see him through the cracks, and then you know to get ready. It's about to throw down. Without those, you don't know someone standing out there.
This is a very vulnerable moment for me, okay? If somebody wants to get you, like they're in there to get you. And by the way, we got to live in the most damn paranoid country in the world. Not everybody's out to get you. All right. If somebody is in that bathroom,
by the way,
trying to get me
in other countries, they probably are there to get you.
We're not in other countries.
You're right. But you try to make this is
I'll
the best
start
country
doing
in the world,
how they do right. it in France. when we got France problems. But this is not France. And if somebody's out there to get you, do you think they're going to wait until you have your pants pulled up and are capable of defending yourself? If I want to get you, I'm getting you while you're on the crapper.
Well, here's
I'm
the,
literally
here's the
catching you with your pants down.
Yeah, but here's the point. While your pants are down, you look through the crack and you spot a shiv or something, you're going to be like, okay, I'm pulling my pants up and preparing to take on this ne'er-do-well.
Okay.
Whereas right, you could be sitting there and not know. Well, here's another scenario. You're saying, and this was just brought up in the clip. You're sitting there and taking your time when you're supposed to be on the clock. And the boss walks in. You see it's the boss. You recognize his shoes. And you're like, oh, no, I've got to hurry. I'm going to get busted again. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons to have those.
If I'm in there.
And it may also be for fumigation purposes. I don't know.
If I'm in there and I see the boss and I'm going to get in trouble for doing my business, I don't want to work there anymore.
No, it's okay? Not for doing your business, but for taking that break like every 20 minutes to go in there and just be watching something on YouTube.
That just tells me. You got a bad work ethic. Listen, we don't need to sit here and strategize the proper way to attack somebody in the crapper. What I'm saying is, shut the cracks.
You know,
I don't want to be able to
see
out.
You know the best way to defend yourself? Put a banana on the floor.
Oh, God. I don't want to be able to see out while I'm doing that, because if I can see out, somebody else can see in. I am much more worried about somebody just like leering than jumping me when I come out of the crapper. But
Will you use a trough?
I mean, if I'm in a stadium and I got to pee,
well,
yeah.
Well, then you have no.
You don't understand the difference between taking a one and taking a two?
Doesn't
the
matter.
State of vulnerability, it absolutely is
you're,
different.
You were more vulnerable standing
one,
in a trough than you are in
no,
a toilet
I'm not.
With cracks.
What are you talking?
You absolutely are.
Okay, all right, let's think about this for a minute. You're just as vulnerable standing there with just your little thing-a-lang out than you are seated with your pants around your ankles. No.
Here, let me point this out for someone, because you've never been in a fight. So if you're going to fight, you got a better chance if you're in the stall because you're already in the squatting position. So you can get the most power out of your legs.
Your pants are around your ankles.
Burst through that door and
right.
Take that narrow.
All right. You're just being silly.
Am
now.
I?
All right.
Am I?
Yes.
No, I
yes.
don't think so.
Yes.
I think everyone
yes.
would agree with me.
Now, literally no one. Now, that being said, the whole point of that clip was for no other reason than, A, get rid of the cracks in bathroom stalls. They're weird. But even aside from that, I like broadcasting Nick Saban. He's fun, all right? All the things that made him completely unlikable as a coach, unless he was your coach, all the things that made him completely unlikable as a coach make him a fantastic broadcaster. He's just fantastic. And I enjoyed, I've not gotten to finish it, but because of that clip, I started my first ever listen to The Pivot, which I got to tell you is probably going to go in the rotation now. I enjoyed it quite a bit. But then later on in The Pivot, Nick Saban was talking about the, let's say, evolution of college football, and I swang right back around. Okay, a couple of points I want to address. And I once again am going to reiterate before I do. I love Nick Saban, the broadcaster. I think he's loosey-goosey. I think he's fun, but I still think he's got enough of that uptight, excellent, elite coachedness in him that you pair him up with a Pat McAfee, and it's magic, dude. It's magic. If you haven't seen the clip of Game Day where they are in, I think it's Texas A&M. I'm not 100% sure, but you know how on game day, they always have like a local eatery bring out a bunch of food out to the desk and the boys just kind of eat it and talk about it? There is a spot where they bring out like a big tomahawk steak and McAfee just picks it up barehanded and he points it over in Saban's face. And you're like, oh no, Pat, he's going to eat you alive. And Nick just looks at him and then leans over and takes a bite out of it. Like, it's great. There's another spot where Nick eats something that is like desserty. But it's like a like one of those weird regionally specific desserts that it's like these people love it, nobody else gets it. And Nick Saban on the air goes, "What in the is that?" It's hysterical. I don't like the steak. I get what Nick is saying. He's saying all the things that we have heard so many other people say. Oh, we lose the tradition. We lose the pageantry. We lose all of this. And the point the entire time has been, yeah, that's an easy thing to hurt when you lose if it is the reason that you are rich and successful. Nick Saban made hundreds of millions of dollars by taking advantage of all that stuff. Oh, I want to play in the SEC. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that's all well and good. And those all things, all those things were absolutely true. Okay? Nick made hundreds of millions of dollars to keep those things true. And he did a better job of that than I would argue any other coach in college football history. I include Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno, and all the rest of them. He also made hundreds of millions of dollars doing it. It is really easy to say it hurts to lose those things when those things enriched you. But the people who made those things true, nobody wants to play in the SEC if all the best players weren't in the SEC. And they were. They just were. So all the best players wanted to play against all the best players. And that made a bunch of sense. But it also created a world where everybody else in this same college football landscape was fighting for their lives. Now, we have created a world where the SEC has to fight just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. I was listening to another podcast yesterday, and I do feel bad that I do not remember who it was. But they said, if you go break down by demographic where schools send graduates, the Big Ten is currently sending more big-time professionals to the East and the West Coast, where the money is, to the Northeast and California, where the money is, than any other football conference. And what ends up happening when that happens? You send the most graduates to the places where there's the most money, and they send the most money back to those schools. And when they send the most money back to those schools have the most ability to take that money and to turn it into football resources. And that is why the Big Ten effectively ran college football this year between Oregon and Ohio State and Penn State. And while Notre Dame is not a Big Ten team, they play in Big Ten country, and they received that same benefit. It is easy to say, oh, you know, it really stings. It really hurts to lose this thing, when the thing that is being lost impacts you negatively. But it's also benefited a lot of people. Now, are there ways to kind of ease it a little bit? Yes. Yes, there are. One of the things that, in my opinion, I do not love that we are at this reality, but because of the failure of the adults in the room to recognize where we were going and prepare for it, a student union and collective bargaining agreement is your only hope at this point. It's your only hope. All those things that you lost, they are not gone. It is just that loyalty is no longer a one-way street. Nick Saban absolutely gray-shirted guys from Alabama. That is to say, he brought them in, he put them on scholarship, he kept them there, and then one day he realized, I got this really good player coming out of high school, but I don't have room for him on the roster. So he goes to a kid and he says, hey, bud, we're going to let you finish school on financial aid, but you're not on the football team anymore. I need your spot. I need your scholarly. I need your spot for another dude. That is something. The gray shirt was a big time controversy back when I was in Florida. I would be willing to ask Nick Saban, how many kids did you gray shirt? How many kids who did want to play in the SEC and want to play for Alabama and wanted to rep the script A and wanted to rock the crimson did you go to and go, yeah, I got somebody better than you. You're out. Because I know the answer is not zero. So it's kind of tough for me to take this, oh, that, you know, you've gotten rid of discipline and loyalty and all that. No, you haven't. Recruit kids who are disciplined. Recruit kids who have loyalty. Once you get them on campus, coach them and develop them in a way where they value loyalty, where they value brand awareness and representing you and what you are and what you've built. Recruit those kids and then build those kids up. But if you're just going to recruit the best player, regardless of who the hell they are, don't be shocked when they go, I'm going to go be the best player wherever I can be. This take means nothing to me. It means nothing to me. Respectfully to a guy I would 100% put in charge of college football, it means nothing to me. What means everything to me is being able to sit back, relax, and listen to a Sports Flash.
He says as he leaves the room.
Yep! I got to pee.
The South Carolina women's basketball team knocked off number 18 Tennessee last night, 70-63. Chloe Kitts, Raven Johnson, and Tiana Pau-Pau all had 10 points in starting roles, while the Gamecocks were led by Joyce Edwards, 18 off the bench. Gamecocks are now 20-1, but remain number 2 in the polls behind undefeated UCLA, who handed the Gamecocks their only loss. The number 3 team in the country in men's basketball fell last night as Arizona State dropped Iowa State 86-75. The Sun Devils' Caleb Love hit a game-tying half-court shot to extend the game to overtime and knocked down 2 more threes in the extra period after starting the game 1-for-10 from deep. The loss is Iowa State's 3rd of the season. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs. Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.